Today's Tuesday, and you're on the Mike and Ape Show. It's February 9th, and the new year is just rolling along. And hey, Mike, where are you?
Right now, I'm legally parked by LaGuardia Airport. Legally parked. I am not driving with the cell phone in my hand. I am legally parked, and the cell phone is not part of the dangerous driving equation in my world. And, I got to send you some cards, right?
I was going to say, anywhere near a post office?
Well, what's that again? You get cut off.
Are you anywhere near a post office?
I'm always near a post office. It's New York.
I know, so send me some cards, please. My my following down here in the southern portion of the United States has been, the NYC Taxi News has been getting a big following down here.
Really? I thought it was just in New York, so you're going global.
Well, we've been global, okay? But, wherever I give out cards, there's taxi drivers everywhere, and they're all mad at the same thing.
Yeah, Uber. Well, it's funny. I got somebody sent me something about there's a taxi demonstration today in Prague, Czechoslovakia, against Uber. So now they got London, they got Paris, they have Prague. I think they're getting thrown out of Moscow. They got thrown out of a couple of countries. Spain, I think, threw them out. So the only last thing they're hanging on by with their fingernails is like New York and a couple other places in the States. And I'm just wondering what happened to the New York guys to get it going. They keep going to court, but where's the activity? I'm just curious.
Well, we still have the federal case coming up. It drags out. Dates are coming up, but nobody knows exactly, except for the lawyers, when they're going to be in court. Okay.
Right.
What was I going to say? In New York, the Uber drivers are really hurting. It seems that they're not making very much money. They're striking. They're complaining, and Uber keeps saying everything's fine. Everything's fine. We reduced the rates to no money an hour so that you guys can have no fares. Drive these people for free. Just give us a cut,
You know what it is? I tell you, my cynical view as a yellow cab driver in New York City is that Uber basically took all the gypsy cab drivers who have been stealing from us for years, dragged them into the Uber thing with their little handheld cell phones, which I always thought was very dangerous. And now the work is drying up. And now there's an article that you sent me talking about they're mad because they're getting tickets for illegally picking up off the street. It's like, listen, they always had the opportunity to become yellow cab drivers. There was no law saying this particular group of people who in their infinite wisdom decided to go to Uber, they should have went and got yellow cab driver licenses, bought yellow cabs. And now, once again, they want the taxi commission to legalize them for street hails when all they had to do was just drive a cab. What is the problem with these characters?
They have a problem. they want to be independent, and that anybody can understand. But you have to, in New York City, we have laws. And, right. You're right. What is their problem? Taxi business in the Bronx, taxi business in Brooklyn has always been good, okay? But they want to do it off the books.
Right. Well, maybe that's the thing. Maybe they got their little cash cow, and I would not be surprised. Some of these guys have, stuff coming in from the city, like with housing and food stamps and blah, blah, blah. And this Uber and green car stuff puts them on the books. Now, the yellow cab drivers, to their credit, it took a while, but 99% of them did, in fact, straighten up and fly right in the bookkeeping department. But I think these guys are getting their 1099s, and let's put it this way. I think a couple of these guys don't even know how to spell 1099, let alone know what to do with it, if you know what I mean.
Well, the authentic gypsy driver doesn't get any 99s.
Illegal driver.
They don't get W-2s. They don't get 99s. They don't get nothing.
Right. So that might be it. I mean, they're crying crocodile tears because, listen, fellas, you get credit cards coming in. It's in the computer. Hello, you got to run a business, and the business is there. I'll tell you one good thing. as we jump topics, which we always does. You were, it's funny, I just had from the mouth of babes conversation here at the airport, and I said they got to take it easy with flooding the industry with drivers, because they started this whole thing where they're going to let the FHV drivers come in and drive yellow cabs. Now, I said we should keep our standards high, and you said we just got to get the cars out and get as many drivers as we can, correct?
Right.
But now I talked to a couple of the drivers. They're glad the other drivers are coming into the yellow cab business, because in their mind, it kind of like makes it real again. It not only you're getting a new driver, but you're getting a new driver who appreciates being in the yellow cab business from an activity standpoint. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah. You know, there's always business out there, and the people want legitimate cabs to pick them up. You know, they want to go out on the street, and they want to stick up their hand, and they want a yellow cab to pull over.
Yeah, they don't want all this mumbo-jumbo. And I think another thing you sent me was the Uber investors. There was a big boy commenting about the Uber $60 billion alleged worth. And he's like, listen, these people want to start seeing some money. They either want to start seeing some money coming back in a refund, or they want to see this guy go public, because this guy keeps saying, we need more time, we need more time. He's like, show the books to your investors and go public. That's enough. And they were getting mad at the guys running Uber, because they said eventually you have to just draw a line in the sand and say, okay, we have to know what you're doing here. Because all this investment money is pouring in with the idea they're going to go public, but when are they going to go public? And it's not just Mike and Abe blabbing about and whining about Uber saying this. These are some of the big investment houses starting to take a look at this Uber stuff, and I'm just wondering if you check that out as well.
Well, yeah, I've been reading about that, and, you know, finance has never been my expertise, okay, because I never had any money to finance, all right,
You know. And but because you never send out money.
Yeah, well, I've always been scrounging for nickels and dimes, you know, riding around in my New York cab, NYC taxi, you know, and I never had money to invest, but I do understand that if you're going to invest some money, you want to see some return on your money, okay?
Well, let's put it this way. Let's say you, for example, let's say you had an option to do this because you had a cab at the time. If you would have taken 4 years ago $250,000 and invested in Uber, now it's 4 years later and the guy still hasn't gone public. I mean, wouldn't you be setting your hair on fire at this stage of the game? You'd be making some calls, right?
Well, I'd be looking at, I'd be climbing up the George Washington Bridge looking for a jump off point. I think, you know, I mean, our taxi medallions have gone down in price, but our income has gone down some, yes, okay, but we're still, you know, we're not treading water. We're still in the black, okay.
Yeah.
You know, and I say, you know, a guy called me up the other day, you know, one of our regular listeners, and he starts crying to me, Abe, he says, you know, everything is going against us. Everything is going against us. They didn't give us the injunction against the wheelchairs, and everything is going. And I said, listen, let me ask you two questions. He says, what? I says, do you still have your taxi? He says, yeah. I says, are you still making money? He says, yeah. I said, so what's the problem? Okay.
Well, the problem is, I think a lot of these guys, I'm sure you know a couple of these guys. They had their idea where they were just sail into the sunset and rent out their medallion, and that's the end of it. And this is the first generation, I think, in 30 years of guys who've had a problem with renting out their medallion, and then a problem with, you know, the equity on the medallion, the problem of getting lease cuts every month from what they're getting from the medallion. But the actual driver on the street in the cab is still soldiering on. But some of these guys with these high notes, I can see where they're panicking. Because that's the other thing the city did. All this Uber stuff happened after they sold the medallions. And it also kept them from selling another 1,000 medallions for yellow cabs for people in wheelchairs. So, I mean, I don't know how much horrible it gets than the fact that there are 1,000 less wheelchair cabs on the street because of this fiasco with these transportation network companies who don't have a wheelchair car in their fleet. It's ridiculous.
What else, Mike?
See, now you got me started. I'm not a morning person to begin with, so I'm angry. I'm just angry to be awake right now.
Yeah, so but by the way, folks, it's 9:19 in the morning, and Mike is usually fast asleep at this time and doesn't wake up till 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Right. Are you changing your waking hours? What's going on here, Mike?
Yes, actually, I am changing my routine, such as it is. So I'm getting up a little bit earlier because, I don't know if I'm getting older or we can talk about health issues now. Because
yeah,
I've noticed that I'm good till like midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning, and that's the ball game. I used to be able to roll till like 3, 4 in the morning, but now that I'm 50, I'm not even tired. It's just I can't take the aggravation of these kids with the drinking. And now they're doing, they call it micro hits of LSD. They're not doing good old-fashioned LSD. They're doing micro hits.
Micro hits.
Where they think they're not doing LSD, but it's like, schmuck, you're still doing LSD, and you're tripping in my cab. Get out.
I didn't even know LSD still existed. Okay.
I didn't either. I thought we were off the hook. The stoners were out of here, but now they're coming back around again. Unbelievable.
That was a thing of the '60s. Okay, the Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds, and claiming that wasn't LSD. Wasn't talking about LSD. Okay, and the hippies Haight Ashbury and the East Village. Yes. The East Village was, LSD was running out of the water fountains back in the 60s.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, suddenly you drank some water and whoa, Okay,
that's when New York was New York. You know?
Yeah, that's when New York was really a hot spot. Anyway, those people are now have gray hair. Okay, those that are left. Okay, it's amazing that the '60s were 50 years ago already.
I'll tell you, I had a girl. What was it like? 2 years ago, very pretty girl, right? She was going to Long Island Penn Station, and she's starting to nitpick about why do you go left, why do you go straight, why? It's like maybe it's like a $6 or $7 cab, right? She's just like peppering me to death,
right?
Minutia while she's on the phone. Then she goes to leave, and I look at her right arm. It's blue. And she has like a divot, maybe like a 3/4 inch by 3/4 inch by 1/2 inch deep divot of flesh, like just poked out of her arm.
Yeah.
And then I asked someone in the medical field what was it. He goes, oh, she's probably a big time junkie.
Right.
And like the and after a while, your shooting spot just like dies and falls out of your like flesh. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Well, apparently the kids are shooting heroin again, so I don't know.
I've read that that's very popular these days. Okay.
Oh my God.
Hey Mike, how about this article here? City airports see record numbers of passengers amplifying calls to grow or die. In other words, there's a call to expand the airports and rebuild them.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
I mean, I right now I'm out here by LaGuardia Airport. And I think, personally, they should expand JFK into, like, a huge airport and just turn LaGuardia into, like, condominiums. I mean, that's been my view at this stage of the game, because every time they try and make the runways bigger at LaGuardia for the airplanes, the communities say, oh, no, we don't want it. Because this airport at LaGuardia was made for, like, DC-10s and Piper Cubs and stuff like that. And now they got the big boys are trying to land here. Like the 7s they're up to, 747 or something.
I don't know.
They can't do it. So they got all these smaller planes landing, and it's a big headache. So now, I mean, here's the thing. Cuomo and de Blasio, they can't build a horse carriage in Central Park. They're gonna rebuild LaGuardia Airport, is that what you're telling me? They can't paint the Brooklyn Bridge in 5 years, and they're talking about building an airport? Get out of here.
All right, how about this, Mike? I got all these news articles for you to comment on. More than 60% of Uber drivers are thinking of quitting.
I think that's a little low. I think more like 99.9%. Look, these guys, apparently with the Uber Brain Trust, for lack of a word, they started saying now, flooding the airwaves with driver ads. Make money in your part-time and your part-time. So they've gone from telling their guys one thing, and now the other guys are panicking because they bought these big Cadillac Escalades and Lincolns and all these brand-new cars, and now they're realizing the work is drying up, but they're still on the hook for these Cadillacs with no business coming in. So I don't know how that's all going to work out. Well, like I said, I was talking to one driver, former Uber driver. He said there's a car dealer who sold the same Camry four times, like for the Uber X. He sold the same Camry car four different times from guys who tried it, didn't like it, brought the car back. So that he's making money on that. But I just think a lot of these guys, they're getting their comeuppance, as they say in the sticks. And they always could have drove a cab. They should have stayed home. They were making money driving a cab. But they wanted to get greedy. And I'll tell you something else. I think the cab drivers owe it to themselves to find out if there's some double agents in the mix here. Because I think there's been a few people in the industry, in the taxi business, who are quietly rooting for Uber to sell stuff to the Uber customers. And I think we should start finding out who these characters are. Because let me tell you something. They might be part of the problem as well, in their own way.
I don't know. What do you mean sell stuff to the Uber drivers?
Well, look, you got Uber cars, you got Uber insurance, you got Uber financing for cars. I think, I don't know if Uber is selling insurance or if they have a brokerage or who's keeping these Uber cars rolling and who's financing these cars to these Uber drivers. Because apparently, a lot of these guys had no credit and they're getting these predatory interest deals on cars. And now their credit is ruined because they get the car repossessed. So I think this love affair with Uber, A to Z, is winding down. And it's going to be a very interesting year for all the right reasons for a change.
Well, it looks like that Uber may be going bye-bye. I mean, who is financing them? That's a good question. The Yellows right now, all the financing is frozen. Okay?
Yeah.
Nobody's lending money for medallions, okay? Right. Even though they're still valuing the medallions at a lesser rate than they were 3 years ago or 2 years ago, okay?
Right.
They still, you know, everyone is saying they still have X amount of value, you know, 700, 800, you know, 900,000, whatever it may be. And I'm thinking as soon as the credit unions, you know, get a little promise from the city that, yes, we will enforce your business, okay, and honor your licenses, okay,
right.
That the credit unions may loosen up at some point and start lending money again, and then we will see where the value really lies. But who's financing the Yellows right now if you need a car? That's what I don't know.
This is the other thing. This would have been the perfect time for the city to sell any kind of medallion to the driver. Say, listen, you want to drive a cab, we got medallions for sale, straight from the city, and let the city, I mean, they're so smart with this auction, let the city finance the medallions. They get $72 billion budget. They could easily go to the industry and say, okay, we're going to secure the loan for the yellow cab, right? I mean, let's put it this way. Abe wants to go out and buy another medallion, put a driver on it. Abe's like, listen, the credit union's not going to give me the money. The city could say, okay, we're going to go to the credit union, tell them we're going to secure the loan because we're going to bring the business back. City hasn't done that. And the city has, I think they have the power to do that. Can they do that? I don't know.
That's a good question. And you know, that's interesting. I never thought of that, you know, because there are people out there that want to buy medallions that are offering the medallion owners to hold the mortgage, which is kind of insane for a medallion owner to do. Okay, because then he's on the hook for, you know, so many years and has no guarantee that he'll get his money. Okay, but the city doesn't have, you know, who is now still authorized to sell 1,600 medallions, okay,
right,
by law, which was passed in 2011, okay, has only sold a small portion of 2,000 medallions, and 1,600, I believe, are still waiting to be sold. Why doesn't the city finance them and, you know, just repossess them if the people can't pay?
Right, and I'll tell you something else. What the city could do, if they went belly up and the city repossessed them, they could have another auction with repossessed medallions when the market comes up. The city could make a fortune for the city, and the cabbies could get back on the road. I mean,
Mike.
I mean, we're like a little think tank here.
I know, Mike. When are you going to make that trip to City Hall and knock on Mr. DB's door?
I really should. I should just go up. My laundry's in the laundromat right now, so I'm wearing dungaree shorts in 20-degree weather. So I should knock on the door right now.
Well, let me ask you, do you have any long pants that smell?
All the time.
You can go up to, you can walk in like that, you know. Didn't Mr. DB, okay, Mayor DB, okay, didn't he say the door to his office is always open?
Well, I think you might have a few doors in there. It's like, the door is office is always open. It's like, oh, no, not that door. Walk through this door.
And the door probably goes maybe the door is open, but he's not there.
Yeah, maybe it means the door is always open so he can throw you out.
No, but I really like that idea that the city itself should finance the medallions.
And then maybe they
would send the inspectors and the police out there to enforce the medallions' rights.
You know, you're a genius. I mean, we should, like, just reprint. We should take a collection and reprint this show transcript in the New York Times, because that's what it's about. If you had to say, okay, listen, everybody, listen, credit unions, from now on with all the drama going on, we're going to make sure that the loans are secured, and that you can talk to the big credit unions, talk to the cabbies, then if you can't pay your loan, then we're just going to repossess your medallion like everything else. We'll be, what is it, like the end game, or the final lien holder for the medallion would be the city of New York. And let's say things are horrible and they repossess 200 or 300 medallions, they can then resell those medallions so they won't take a total bet, and that would make the city, as a final lien holder, finally get these inspectors out to protect their investment, let alone our investment. You think what I'm saying?
Yes. Yes, I do. Yeah. You know, it's not fair.
You like the way I twisted that to make it sound like it's my idea?
Well, we just thought of it together. Okay?
No, it's your idea. Okay.
No, well, listen. I forgot what I was going to say.
Right now, don't say anything. Put a bookmark in this because the line is moving. I'll call you back in like half an hour, 45 minutes.
Okay, we got more stuff to talk about.
All right, right now we're going to take a break because we are the real, genuine item, and I'm leaving the lot, happily getting a fare, and I'll call you back, Abe.
Okay, Mike's at LaGuardia. Well, folks, we're going to wrap this show up right now. Mike never made it back. I think he got a fare to Connecticut. Okay, so stay tuned, and we'll be doing some more live from JFK or LaGuardia Airport by Mike in the near future. Thank you for listening to the Mike and Abe Show. Bye.